The Reverend Dr. David Curry is a longtime friend and an effective advocate for true religious freedom. As a member of Interfaith Alliance Foundation's Board of Directors, he continues to promote the values over which we initially met and continue to treasure. And so, David Curry, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Well, thank you, Elton. Good to be with you again.
You know, David, this really is not so much an interview as it is the continuation of a conversation that you and I began almost 30 years ago. But I'd like for you...
I think you became my pastor somewhere around 1978. I left for Nashville, the Christian Life Commission, and you came to Fort Worth to pastor the church I was in.
That's exactly right. Time. Well, look, I want you to start, if you will, for our listeners, start with a little history of your initial exposure to the political religious right. When did you first engage that group?
Well, Welton, I was at the Southern Baptist Christian Life Commission, where you had previously been, in 1979, when the fundamentalist takeover of the Southern Baptist Convention started with the election of Adrian Rogers as president of the Southern Baptist Convention. So we began to see it right then, and a few of us quickly recognized this was not just a pendulum swing, this was something extremely serious. Mm-hmm. I remember having that conversation in 1979 with John Wood and some others and saying, we've got to pay attention to this.
And David, say why, because what did you find most alarming about this group, and what issues caused you the most worries about them?
Well, fundamentalism, whether it's in Christianity, Islam, Jewish, fundamentalism is always my way or the highway. It's always, if you don't agree with me, you don't believe the Bible, you don't believe in truth. It's a completely closed system for freedom of thought and for freedom of expression that is different in any form or fashion. So once this started to permeate the Southern Baptist Convention, it was clear to see where it was heading. It was, if they could get control of our seminaries, they could control what is taught, there would be no more education as you and I would define it. It would become indoctrination. And they were successful in doing it, Welton. I mean, we were late organizing. I didn't really get involved until 1988. And folks were late to recognize it. And, of course, now the six Southern Baptist seminaries are places that traditional Baptists, you know, should not attend. They should be going to Mercer in Atlanta, where you taught at one point, to Truett at Baylor, to Logsdon at Hardin-Simmons here in Texas, because it's a totally different system. A way of looking at the world, and fundamentalism just doesn't allow any diversity, any freedom of thought. It's my way or the highway.
Talk about the, and I hesitate to even use this word, talk about the values, maybe the better word is strategies, that you experienced when you met these religious fundamentalists.
Well, the strategy they of course, this was in Southern Baptist life, Welton, and so that's a different kind of polity. But the strategy there was untruth. I mean, Judge Paul Pressler, who, if you went to Ted Cruz's website when he was running for president, you had a video of Judge Pressler. He traveled the country 6 days a week telling people that some of our Southern Baptist seminaries did not have a single professor that believed the Bible was the Word of God. Now, that's an exact quote. Mm-hmm. So the strategy was untruth, the strategy was attack, and it was to mislead people. Mm-hmm. And so we had, in Southern Baptist life, the way it was structured, the little town I'm from, Paint Rock, Texas, high school graduating class of five, could send 10 messengers to the convention, and your First Baptist Church of Austin could send 10 messengers to the convention. So... It allowed the uneducated people to fall for this kind of strategy, show up at the convention, follow the leadership that was here. I mean, I hate to say it, Welter, but you see it repeating itself in national politics right now. I mean, right this moment. Untruth followed by people that don't know any better calling for change that isn't even needed.
And David, isn't it interesting, because I think I'm glad you said you see the parallels, because I certainly do too. I think that's probably why I am so scared about what's happening. But the overriding thought seems to be that we've got the truth, you don't. We know how to run this nation, you don't. And so the end justifies the means. Anything we have to do to prevail, we can do it.
Well, unfortunately, that's true, Welton. Now, how Christians get to that position, and that's the framework that you and I come from, is kind of beyond me. I mean, when you sacrifice basically all sense of true moral values for the end justifying the means, I mean, I have no clue where like a Jerry Falwell could come from or a Franklin Graham in this last year. And so I don't think he's like his father at all. But the end justified the means, and so we could elect a person that, in my opinion, has no moral compass, no even sense of right or wrong as President of the United States.
Well, David, let's pick up on that, because I think one of the things that characterizes you in my mind is you're not a person that sits back and lets things happen that you oppose. You get involved, and you got directly involved in what was happening in the Southern Baptist Convention. In fact, talk a little about how you got involved in what you were trying to do.
Well, I came to the Southern Baptist Convention site a little bit late. We realized, and especially here in Texas, we realized that when you're dealing with fundamentalism, there isn't a middle ground. Our nature, the way you and I think and operate, is let's sit down and reason together. Well, I realized that with the fundamentalist movement, if you had a body of water 100 feet long and you built a bridge 99 feet, they wouldn't let you build that last foot. They wouldn't build it. There was never room for compromise. You had to defeat them at what they were doing. Now, you had to do it with more character and integrity. But so what I ended up doing in Texas is leading the effort to strategically deal with getting the messengers to the convention to defeat fundamentalism. And so I actually ran a complete statewide campaign where I identified the churches that were supportive of the traditional Baptist position, identified how many messengers they could have. I had a public organization that people could join called Texas Baptist Committed. So I found individuals, even in fundamentalist churches and other and so somewhat conservative churches, that really believed in the First Amendment and really believed in allowing the professors in our eight colleges to teach and encourage people to think. And so, but we actually had to have a political campaign to get people to the convention and defeat them. And we successfully did that in Texas. And so that's why I'm somewhat disappointed now in some things happening here, but that's a different story.
Well, and David, you did that in Texas, but I also know you went all over the Southwest and the Southeast trying to say to people, you've got to take this fundamentalist movement, you've got to take it seriously. If you don't, you're going to see some bad things happen.
Yes, I traveled all over North Carolina. I traveled all over Georgia. People kept thinking they could fight this quietly and behind the scenes, which you really can't do. The success of Texas is we were a public organization that people could identify with, contribute to, become a part of. And what I ran into in other states is, well, we'll do this behind the scenes, and it just never was successful, except in Virginia. There was some success in North Carolina, but the organized effort to resist this kind of evil, I call it, never really materialized in other states to the level that it did in Texas. And part of it is they needed to have someone full time doing it, like we had here, that was committed to it. But you have to, you know, you can't. I had a philosophy that any lie had to be answered.
Right.
So early on in the 1990s, when we'd formed the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, which you and I were both a part of, they would attack the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, and even though Baptist committed to something different, I answered every lie.
Mm-hmm.
Publicly and in writing and speaking in other ways. And so I think you have to do that. And you just simply can't leave unanswered lies unanswered, or people will believe them.
You know, David, polls show that over 80% of evangelical voters supported Donald Trump. Why is it that people continue to downplay the impact of the political religious right today?
I can't imagine why they downplay it, because it is a significant voting block, and that was, of course, that was the design of the fundamentalist movement in Baptist life. Was never about theology; it was about a political voting block that they tried to deliver. You know, fortunately, the old Christian Life Commission, which is now the Ethics and Religious Liberty, as a leader that's not near as extreme as they've had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But they keep playing that down. And again, I don't understand. It's a myth. Welton, I think abortion just reached its lowest level in like 20 years. Did you read that?
Right.
And that's because the economy improved. I am a pro-life person, but I don't believe it's a government decision. I believe it's a spiritual decision. But these folks have been convinced that this is the most important issue in America. And they never do anything about it. Reagan didn't do anything about it. Bush didn't do anything about it. I don't believe Trump will ultimately do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But they fall for this lie. And I'm a little bit scared and concerned about how are we ever going to change these, get these people to think with a broader perspective. It's quite frustrating.
David, I only have about a half a minute, but I want you, I know you can do this. What do you say to people who are really feeling low, and what do you say to them about hope right now?
Well, one, our faith is our ultimate hope, and we are a country built on checks and balances. Now, whether or not those will activate, I can't promise you, Welton, but I have to believe that still the majority of people, even elected to service, have a sense of decency. And so the pendulum of time moves pretty slow. And so we buckle down, we stand up for what we believe is right, we always answer hate with love, and we believe in the ultimate movement of humanity toward a higher level of consciousness. And I believe that's still out there. I think this was a freak occurrence. And I think if we resist with integrity and with a great deal of commitment, that we will survive this and move on forward as both as a country and as people of various faiths that respect the First Amendment. But you cannot compromise on the First Amendment to the United States, because it is what makes America America. It is the greatest single thing, Welton, ever done by a government in the history of the world. Is the First Amendment to the Constitution guaranteeing religious liberty.
For many years, the Reverend Dr. David R. Curry led Texas Baptist Committee, an organized educational effort to resist takeover of the Baptist General Convention of Texas by fundamentalist, politically conservative groups. He has served as pastor of the First Baptist Church in Mason, Texas, and he is the author or co-author of a number of books. David is a great friend. He is an aggressive person who has his values right, and he serves now on the Interfaith Alliance Foundation Board of Directors. David, thank you for being with us today, and thank you for all of the work you've done. You're a good friend, and it's great to talk with you on State of Belief.
Well, thank you, Elton. Honored to be here, and always honored. Pleased to get to spend some time with you.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to say a sincere thank you. We rely on your support to be able to continue this important work. If you've heard something that you found to be helpful on the show today, I urge you to share it with others who might also benefit from hearing it. It's easy to do that on Facebook and Twitter. You can also direct them to stateofbelief.com, where they'll find full episodes, an in-depth archive, extended interviews, transcripts, and links mentioned in the show. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy, that State of Belief.
The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. See what he was.